Yes.
I liked your simile about wallowing in the mud, because it's kind of fun to wallow in the mud and play with it. It's safe. It's, the way I see it is there's three options when you're playing. One is to look up in the sky and just look at it and say, I'd rather be here. The other is ignorance, that you don't know that there is something else up there. And the third one is cutting your roots and saying, I'm going to try to follow the sun. I'm going to try to go up there and see it. Now, that's good, and it's good that you would do that. However, I found in my experience of following the Dhamma that a little ways up the sea, I lose my foundation. I've cut my foundation. I have a new foundation of the Dhamma. I now, through my ignorance being removed, I know about anger, about shame, blame, about talking about my neighbors. I know a lot of these things that I used to do are not proper to do. However, I don't have the backfill of how I should be acting now, because I don't have the experience. I'm not a professional of the mind. I can't undo 50 years of bad thoughts. And I don't have enough material to fill it up yet, and so I become unstable, or the mind becomes unstable for a while when you're learning. So I guess my question is, how would you either shortcut that process so that you don't go too unstable, or should you have a teacher, a professional teacher guiding you, or can you do this on your own?
You know, there is a very simple way of sorting out this so-called mess. We don't have to think about the past or the future. Take this moment, this very moment, to look at the mind. And when we look at the mind, we still have the potential of cleaning it up. Without thinking of the past, the more you think of the past, what we dig out are the things that we have done unmindfully. When we have been unmindful, everyone does something wrong. Unmindfulness will never help us to do something right. So we all are in the same boat in that respect. We have been unmindful in the past, and when we are unmindful, we do many wrong things. Becoming mindful of unmindfulness is the beginning of new chapter. Becoming mindful of unmindfulness. So Buddha said, yoja kubbe pamajitta pachyaso napamajati so imam lokam pavaseti abhamukto chandima. That means, one who has been unmindful in the past becomes mindful now. That person shines like the moon free from clouds. All you have to do is to be mindful now. From now on, you do things with mindfulness. Don't worry about the past. Past is gone. You can never undo what is done. You can never do anything about it. It's gone. Gone. Finished. Kaput. Changed. Nothing. Now, do things from now on with mindfulness. That is the very wise thing Buddha asked us to do. Yes. Just regretting about the past, repenting about the past, mourning about the past, blaming about the past, accusing oneself, trying to kill oneself because of the past. It's all foolish. The right thing is to do, well, when I was unmindful, mindfulness is the key. You lost the key for a while. Now you found the key to open.
Like sometimes you never had it.
Yeah. That is what we have to do. We all have to bring up, arouse our mindfulness. And then use it.
Yes.
Again, we may lose. We may become unmindful. When we become unmindful, become mindful of unmindfulness. Mm-hmm. And then start again. That way, we always fall and get up. Fall and get up. Fall and get up. Until our bone structures becomes very strong, then we can run.
So you fail your way to success.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, regarding the same questions. When we are, say now, due to habitual patterns or due to the duty reasons or due to the job requirements or even we are mindfully, because of the habitual pattern, we do something wrong, we have to do something wrong, maybe. We are mindful, but we are doing that. Then how to go about that? That is that still be, which it is better than being unmindful and doing wrong things? So.
Now, when we are mindful, we normally don't do wrong things. When we are mindful, we do right thing. Sometimes, as you said, because of our habit, it happens. Then we have to look at our habit. Then try to build up new habit. For instance, habitually somebody curse. Somebody simply curse when you're driving, all of a sudden traffic light turned red. Usually you use the cursing word. It comes naturally, habitually. So, when you want to develop your mindfulness, when you are making effort to practice mindfulness, because of the previous habit, when the traffic light turns red, you say cursing word, then immediately become mindful. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. Next time you will do it again, and then you say, no, I shouldn't have done that. So you keep repeating, reminding yourself that you are practicing mindfulness. Then what you do more frequently would be the practice of mindfulness. Previously what you did more frequently was the practice of unmindfulness. Now you are slowly, gradually moving away from that unmindfulness practice to mindfulness practice. During this transition period, you see, there will be unmindful things, and still your effort, your understanding and the practice would be mindfulness, and then gradually you begin to enjoy how beautiful it is that you are mindful, these cursing words, you don't utter these cursing words, then you will move on in a mindful direction. Transition period is a little difficult, but even then, with the determination, commitment, effort, you can practice it. You can achieve it.
Do you have any suggestion about the word that Buddha said about detachment? He said that when you detach yourself, you're going to feel free. But I try to understand what he's trying to communicate, in this way. Because, when...
Communicate detachment?
Yeah, because normally, as a human, if you have a pet, you get detachment, right?
Detachment, any of these things don't happen all of a sudden. They all take time. Detachment comes from understanding when we practice meditation, what we see is things are constantly changing. Constantly changing. When things are changing, 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 also we see that any time the mind wants to latch on to something, it's gone. Things are changing so quickly, only we are making attempt to attach to something. It is mere attempt, but we cannot attach to anything. We cannot attach, because the moment we try to maintain, we can see this very clearly. Everything we try to hold on to does not stay the same even for a fraction of a second. It is changing. When we see this nature of change, of everything, then while seeing this we mature, we grow, we understand, we remember. 5 days ago things changed, yesterday things changed, today things changed, now things are changing. And what we see going on consistently all the time is change, impermanence. Things are permanently impermanent. If you want to find anything permanent, that is impermanent. Since things are permanently impermanent, our attempt to become attached to anything is a futile attempt. We see that. We see that with insight, understanding, through the practice of mindfulness. And then only next thought, wise thought arise, wise thought of really very insightful thought arises, not to attach to it, letting go. That is how we develop our detachment.
Doesn't mean don't care, right? It doesn't mean the same as don't care, right?
I mean, no. One thing. Don't care kind of attitude arises from not understanding, out of frustration, out of ignorance. This is with full understanding. If I give you an example, suppose children go to the beach and build sand castles. When they are building sand castles, and then when they are playing with the sand castles, in their mind these are real things. Right? Because they are immature, young, children. They just, you might have seen little girls do play cooking. And then they have an imaginary spoon. With this imaginary spoon, they take a little imaginary food and try to give to you. And you also, just to please the child, then say, and taste it. There's no food, no taste, but just to please the child, you do that. But the child has a great attachment to it, but you don't have an attachment. Not because it is foolish. Not because you don't care, because you are matured. As a matured person, you know that this is a play cooking. This is just a childish way of behaving. So, similarly, when we are spiritually, intellectually mature, all those silly things we did in the past, we now don't do. Not because we don't care, but we understand very deeply. Children who play with sand castles, when after playing, they know it's not anything interesting. They simply, with hands and legs, they dismantle, break, and scatter the sands and go home. They are not frustrated. They do these things just because they don't care, but they have satisfied and they don't need that anymore. And they grew, even little bit they grew, matured, so they let it go. It is much more so with adults who practice meditation and see the truth. When they see the truth, they are not trying to cling to those things which are changing constantly. They let them go.
Because another concept is to see, right? Like, when you see and you know.
Yeah.
But what if you don't see?
Like, that is the problem. If you don't see.
What do you see?
You know, you see with your mental eye, with your eye of wisdom, you see. The see is sort of figuratively. Metaphorically the term we use metaphorically or figuratively. Seeing here is deep understanding. When you have this deep understanding, then only you let it go. And this deep understanding, there is no any other way to express it without using the word seeing. That means it is so clear in your mind. See, when you see, things are very clear in your vision. Similarly, in the mind, things are so clear, very clear. So you let it go.
Just last question. So you think if you just focus on your breathing, will you become mindful?
That is mindfulness.
That's all? Like,
with my, there's...
How long, how many times a day? Like, I mean, because we're busy life, I mean, it cannot be like Buddha, like just sit and...
Yes. You know what I suggested was a very basic beginning of meditation. That is only begin. And then gradually mind deepens, understanding deepens, insight becomes sharp. When we see form, impermanence of form, feeling, perceptions, thought, consciousness, these are constantly changing. When they are constantly changing, we don't make any attempt to cling to it. That is our greed. We let go of our greed. We don't become frustrated or get angry, so we let go of our anger. We don't think that there is some permanent, eternal entity to control everything because things are changing. That is our opening of our wisdom, letting go of our ignorance. So what happened? We let go of our greed, hatred or anger, and ignorance as our insight develops. And all begins with this tiny little observation of our breath. That is the beginning. That's not the total end. But the breath itself is a wonderful subject of meditation. There's a whole discourse called Mindfulness of Breathing, Anapanasati Sutta. I wish we had time back here. All this. You read my mindfulness in training. Have you read it?
No.
Read chapter 13. Chapter 13. You get a lot of, I don't know whether you get insight, but you get some deep understanding of the mindfulness.
I checked Amazon, mm-hmm. and you can get your book for, as a used book for $6.
Yeah.
And $4 of shipping, so yeah. $10 for this.
You can get its 20th anniversary edition.
Yes. Why is it? That's the one we just ordered today.
Yeah. Yes.
Bhante, what in your practice is the role of prayer and devotion for somebody who's wanting to apply the Dharma?
In our practice, prayer or devotion is very superficial. It doesn't bring us insight, wisdom. I don't say prayer or faith and so forth don't have any benefit. They do have benefits, but they don't bring insight. It is the insight, wisdom, that liberates us. The faith is the seed, beginning. The faith becomes more meaningful if the faith is substantiated by reason. Then the faith becomes very strong, powerful tool for leading, gaining insight. Yes?
A lot of questions. Yes, too. But prayer helps us to develop concentration, right? Or
faith help what?
No, prayers.
Prayers?
Kind of things helps us to be more focused and develop concentration.
I don't know. Prayer is supplication, requesting, wishing. That is based on faith. It doesn't. It also can develop your concentration. That concentration, we say, is not right concentration. That's a kind of concentration, but not the right kind of concentration. Even the wrong kind of concentration, there will be some wholesome benefit, even wrong concentration. That is a temporary benefit.
Could you explain when you said wrong concentration, what exactly does that mean? I wasn't aware there was a wrong concentration.
Right. Actually, I'm glad you asked me the question. It takes a long time to explain. There's a right concentration and wrong concentration. If I explain what right concentration is, then you can understand what wrong concentration is. Right concentration is supported by right understanding, right thinking, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness. These seven factors, seven steps must support concentration. If the concentration is supported by these seven steps, seven factors, then that is called right concentration. If the concentration is not supported by, if concentration is supported by wrong understanding, wrong thinking, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood, wrong effort, wrong mindfulness, which is wrong concentration.
So there was mindfulness there, so that would be wrong mindfulness?
Right. When I say right, it is not right mindfulness. If I say wrong, you might say it is right mindfulness. Yes, then that is wrong concentration, wrong mindfulness. Why it is wrong? And Buddha said in Arya Pariyasana Sutta, they also have Saddha, Sati, Virya, Samadhi, Panya. I too have Saddha, Sati, Virya, Samadhi, Panya. So neither they have attained full enlightenment nor have I. Why is that? Their Saddha, their faith, their mindfulness, their concentration, their effort, their wisdom are wrong, faith, and so forth. Why? Why wrong? Their faith is the faith in the tradition. You know, faith in the tradition is not going to bring you an iota of insight. You simply trust the tradition. Completely blind. Just like in Chanki Sutta, Buddha asked the Kaupātika, if the tradition has anybody verified the traditional belief? He said, no. Tradition can be blindly followed, just like line of blinds. So, their faith is like that. Then, effort. They made effort to achieve those blind goals. Their saddha, sati, saddha, mindfulness. Their mindfulness is not the correct mindfulness. The wrong mindfulness. Why it is wrong? Which is not, because it is not supported by right understanding and so forth. Right concentration they gained was focusing mind on that, the belief that there is a supreme being somewhere. And trusting, believing in that, they focus their mind on it, they gain concentration. Sometimes even today people say they visualize the whole universe and they gain concentration. Visualizing the whole universe and gaining concentration is not right concentration. It does not, because, let me finish this, and then Saddha, Sati, Virya, Samadhi, Panya. Their wisdom is the wisdom only limited to this particular traditional beliefs and acceptance. Now, when you get right concentration, Buddha said, samahitam kirtam yathan utam bhajanati. Concentrated mind should be able to see things exactly as they are. They didn't see things exactly as they are. That is why they got stuck there. Not attaining enlightenment. When Siddhartha Gautama, both of the practice, right concentration, supported by these seven other steps, he saw things exactly as that. That is why he was able to attain full enlightenment. That is why he was able to see all his previous lives and all the other beings dying and taking people according to their karma. And also because of that, he was able to trace the beginning of this whole repetition of birth and death, and being able to destroy what you call asana kinyana, destruction of defilements. He was able to destroy the defilement by seeing them exactly as they are through his concentration. His concentration showed things exactly as they are, to destroy, remove, eliminate defilements. Also,
can you see the past and the future?
Yeah, that's what he.
No, you.
No. I have not come to that level yet. I'm trying very hard.
I wonder what
Maybe in the next 10 years.
Eh?
Maybe in the next 10 years.
Next time when I come, you ask me.
Yes.
Okay.
If I have gained that time, I tell you.
I wonder what I was in my
But I was...
Because Buddha was able to say, right?
Yeah.
What was your past, right?
Yeah.
I wonder what I was in my...
When you use the word to see things exactly as they are, I'm assuming that you're talking at the it's at the subatomic, absolutely electronic quartz level.
You know, subatomic, electronic, protonic, neutronic, all these, you know. All these are all material.
Agreed.
There are many good scientists who do that. Atomists, the people who discover atomic bomb and so forth, they have this knowledge. But were they free from suffering?
No.
Science, as I began my talk, the modern science is a wonderful thing for material things. But no matter how much material achievement we make, our suffering remains intact. Until we develop our insight into the reality of suffering. That is the very Buddha's unique discovery. Our suffering is rooted in ignorance, greed, these two, greed and ignorance. Greed, you know, even modern psychologists are trying to find out various things happening in our brain. But they have never discovered a way to eliminate our greed and ignorance. The Buddha, that is why this modern, you know, many psychologists these days learn Buddhist meditation. Why? They have tried everything for the last several centuries, tried everything, and couldn't completely eliminate these problems. So now they at least turn to Buddhist meditation, insight meditation, and I began to write books and started clinics and clinical psychology and write articles and doing research, clinical research and this and that. They are trying to do research by experimenting various things. Until they practice themselves, they cannot liberate themselves from suffering. Research is okay, that's like as I mentioned earlier, Padaparama's work is research. Padaparama's, those who love words, they spend their entire life doing research. Do they attain enlightenment by doing research? No. So what we, seeing things as they really are means, seeing very deeply, impartially, the root of our suffering. Root of our suffering is insatiability of desire. Just keep this sentence in your mind. You don't have to accept it now. You keep thinking about it. Suffering equal to insatiability of desire. We try to satisfy our desire to become happy. Yesterday I mentioned a story. I don't want to say all this now. We do all kinds of things to become happy. Everything we try to become happy, and stop one day and ask, am I happy? said, not yet. Why? Something still is there, unfulfilled. So we try to try few more things. After few years, then we stop and ask, am I happy? Not yet. Always the answer will come, not yet. That is why we keep suffering. When we practice mindfulness inside, when we gain insight, the wisdom, then we get the correct answer. Why are we not happy? Because we always do wrong things to become happy. By wrong things you cannot get right answer. You have to do the right thing to become happy. What is the right thing? To eliminate the cause of unhappiness. Without, you want to, cannot have both. I mean, you cannot have the cake also at the same time eat it. Either you have to eat or have it. If you don't want to get rid of your greed, go ahead, have it and suffer. If you want to have some happiness, let go of the cause of unhappiness. Cause of unhappiness invariably is ignorance and greed. Friends, don't try to break your neck by trying to get rid of your greed at once, overnight, just out of this talk. It takes time. It takes as much time as time that we spend to build up our desire, so to say. So, what we have to do, we try to learn a little chip of a little bit of a desire at a time, very little. To the degree and extent we chip off our desire, to that degree and extent we experience some happiness. This personally realizable, svachata meditabha dhamma, personally realizable. We don't have to depend on anybody. We keep doing it. Friends, no matter how much we listen to dhamma, how much we read the dhamma, we will never experience it, never taste it until we put it into practice. Yes?
But the problem is that, you know, we have this desire because, you know, we want to survive in life, right? We have so much fear.
Sure.
Like, we have desire, okay, I want to get this promoted, I want to do this, I want... It's all because we have this fear, what if I don't? You know, you have this possibility, right?
Go ahead.
So how do you feel about, I mean, you cannot just sit and make it mindful, you know?
You know, we first learn to discipline our senses. When we discipline our senses, we learn to make our life simple. When we make our life simple, our needs are few. When our needs are few, all our extra fat is cut off. All our extra things, we let go. Letting go of extra things is the number one beginning. Extra things. Additional things. Don't become a collector. People not only have what they basically need, but they also become a collectors. Stamp collectors, what do you call coin collectors and
gun collectors
and article collectors and antique collectors, cloth collectors, shoes collectors, collectors.
Book collectors.
Book collectors, bookkeepers.
CDs.
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 CDs, TVs, radios, internets, you know, so many things. Collect. We don't need all of them. We don't need all of them. If we learn to let go of this additional thing, that is the beginning. By doing so, we trained. I tell you, one time a woman came to Bhavana Society and she told me a story. She had a boyfriend and didn't get along with him. So she told him, she had heard that there is a place, she was, quite confused. So somebody said to her, go to such and such a place, spend at least 1 week there. So before she left, she told the boyfriend, now look, I'm going to such and such a place, when I come back, I don't want to see you in my apartment. You pack up all your things and leave. Clean it up. So she went there. When she went there, she saw people were walking very slowly. She had her suitcase put under a tree and sat down and began to watch these people walking very slowly. Then she began to cry. She thought her friend sent her to a mental hospital. This is not normal walking. She thought, what to do? So she waited there, and then they heard the bell. Then they all walked to a big hall. She followed them and sat at the very end of the crowd, ready to leave. if anything happened, she did not know what these crazy people are going to do. So she sat at the very end, ready to leave any moment. Then came a monk, sat on the stage, and he gave a talk on meditation. She listened to the talk. She said, because of her poor English and because of the monk's foreign accent and poor translation, she understood only 20% of the talk. That 20% made a miracle. So she practiced meditation with them. Meditated, then her mind became slowly, gradually cleared, and she began to think, geez, what I've been doing all my life. This is the thing I should have done 20 years ago. So she practiced. Went home, and her boyfriend has literally cleaned up the apartment. He has taken everything away, including the carpet, pots and pans, plates, flower pots, everything he has taken. She found the whole apartment just bare floor with walls and roof. That's all. He has taken everything. Then she sat down and laughed for about 15 minutes. Why did she laugh? Now she doesn't have to water the flower plants, doesn't have to wash so many dishes, and doesn't have to shampoo her carpet. Very simple. She was so happy to see him. Now she is alone. Few little things she was able to sustain herself, and she was very happy. Before, with all these things, even with the boyfriend, she was unhappy. Now if the boyfriend is gone, I don't ask you to do that. Don't let go of your boyfriend, so husbands, if you have any. I'm not suggesting that. But this woman said, when she returned, everything was so simple, she began to feel very, very content and satisfied. And then she started meditation. She became a very serious meditator. So friends, when we simplify our life, and I just gave one extreme example, but if we let go of too many extra things, That is the beginning. That is what is called renunciation. In the Buddhist term, renunciation. Renunciation means letting go, letting go. Then we begin to feel how comfortable our life is, how easy to support this life. Yes?
First of all, I have to tell you, you look so radiant. I saw you many years ago when you came to Ottawa, and I was just wondering how you look, and you look beautiful. So, thank you. And you are quite a role model. I am rereading your book, Mindfulness in Plain English, on Kindle now. Uh-huh. And now I can make notes on it and actually can contemplate it. I just have one comment. When you said, you know, it takes time to accomplish something, I understand the value of patience, which is necessary in order to keep practicing and allow time for things to change. But my concern is sometimes somebody could hear it as, again, creating a linear time, that our enlightenment is in the future, yet present moment is the most precious moment. And so there is a danger in language sometimes that people may start to, again, live in a linear time rather than mindfully this moment. You know, because you know, don't know what may happen in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, does that...
Very true. If you don't know what is happening now, how can you know what will happen tomorrow? So, Buddha's advice is to know, learn to know what is happening. Right now, just focus the mind on the mind and see, is it clear or it is confused? Is it full of emotions? Is it peaceful? Full of greed? And so forth. Look at the mind. We can see when the greed arises, we feel very uncomfortable, very painful. When anger arises, we feel very uncomfortable. Then why should we cultivate something that makes us uncomfortable? We learn to let go of it. Right now, this moment, not tomorrow. So this is how we develop our mindfulness. Friends,
yes.
I think this is enough. Normally I go to bed at 9 o'clock.
And during vacation.
During
vacation.
During
vacation. You can just...
Eh?
So you're on vacation now.
Vacation? This is my vacation?